Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Just Films and That. This is the podcast that celebrates films we reckon might be underrated or underseen. I'm your host for this week, Alice Oliver, and this week's film is Sing Street from 2016. So let's get stuck in. So then, Josh, you chose this week's film, Sing Street, from 2016. So spoiler warning, listeners, if you haven't seen it yet. So, Josh, do tell us, what is Sing Street about and why, oh, why did you pick it?
What's Sing Street about? So Sing Street is a film from John Carney, who you may know did films like Once and Begin Again and stuff like that. It's set in the 80s in Dublin, I believe, and it's about a young boy called Connor who has to change to a secondary school from another one and is struggling to fit in a little bit and is going through some personal stuff at home with his parents splitting up and stuff like that. So he decides to start a band based on his love of music and things like Top of the Pops, to sort of fit in, make some friends, but also to impress a girl. And that's what it's about. It's a musical with original songs in it, as well as a soundtrack full of, you know, actual songs from the 80s. And that's what it's about, really. Why did I pick this? I got nervous to do this one. I really want you to like this.
Okay.
Because I picked it for a few reasons. No pressure. And if you don't like it, you know, it's fine. I'll just finish the podcast. But no, no,
that's
listen,
fine.
You know.
We've had a good one.
I really like this film. I do. I really like this film. I think it's worth more attention. It is fairly highly rated.
Okay.
So I'm not saying it's particularly underrated, probably appropriately rated, but I do think it should be seen by more people. And I just think it's really, really feel good. And I just think more people should see it. It's a lovely little musical with some original songs in there. It's got a lovely aesthetic, but we'll get into that. But I've picked it because I think it's worthy of more attention. So I think I know the answer, but had you seen this one before?
Why do you think you know the answer? Like, it's, you know, are you saying that I haven't seen most of the film?
Answer the question.
No, I hadn't seen it before and I hadn't heard of it. No idea. I had no idea what was going on when I went into it. But I loved it, you know.
Oh, thank God for that.
I did love it.
I thought you would. It's one of the reasons why I picked it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty excellent. And it definitely, as it started, and even quite early on, I just sort of I was thinking about it, and I was like, huh, like, I really like Irish cinema.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'd never really thought about it before. And then I started thinking about the ways in which Irish cinema is different from British cinema, and then obviously different again than from American cinema. And I was like, well, what is it about these Irish films that really just that speaks to me and that gets me and stuff? And it's things to do with like the script and the setting and the way, and in this film in particular, like it, at times it's really cute and really funny and really sweet, and then really fucking dark at some points as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And to bring those two things together without it feeling forced or cheesy or anything like that, I think is a real skill. And it felt so natural and authentic. Mm. Like, and a lot of these actors, and obviously I don't want to look up anything about the film beforehand because I don't want to see any of the scores, but a lot of the actors in this are young, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're really young.
Haven't done anything before.
They're kids, right? They're obviously teenagers. And I was totally convinced by all of them. I was like, I believe that you are all real people. So yeah, I thought it was great. Obviously the songs and the soundtrack together.
Both,
excellent.
Yeah.
banging. Loved it. And it had one of my favourite things in it as well, which is where characters in a film make their own music video. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that in this.
Yeah, I loved it.
And they get better as well. That's what I really like about it, which there's a little thing about that I'll come back to. But just to raise the point there, I think you make a really good point around the difference between Irish cinema, English cinema, and American cinema as well. It's almost like, do you not think it's like a British film, but everyone's more laid back?
It's like
all the characters are just... So one of my things I really like about this is that all of the characters aren't like what you think are standard characters. So Connor isn't your standard leading character in this sort of film, in that he's a bit more confident and a little bit more intelligent. Whereas you'd think that what it would be about would be more like a little bit of a wallflower blooming type situation. Whereas this, it's not. He settles in a little bit, but he's still more confident, even at the beginning. So even at the beginning, before he's even gone into the music stuff, there's this whole storyline about how he's going to a school run by the brothers and they don't allow brown shoes, but he's only got brown shoes. He can't afford black shoes because his parents have got no money. In a British film, that'd be a really grim scene with the brother telling him he can't have black shoes. Whereas he's just like going, but these are fine. They're not like trainers or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, well, it's not regulation or whatever and stuff like that. And there's a lot more to it where I think if this is an English film, it's probably a bit grittier.
Mm-hmm.
Where it just feels a little bit more lower stakes. It feels, but by making it lower stakes, I think it almost feels realer.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's the authenticity that I feel like from the situations and from the characters and from things like the script. Like it just feels real.
Mm. So we've covered the fact that it's Irish then. Let's talk about the music then, because it is a musical, but it's so music rich and music heavy, because it's about the 80s and 80s music and how influenced they are by everything from The Cure to Duran Duran and Adam and the Ants and all that sort of stuff. So what did you think about the music, the original songs and the soundtrack? I know you've mentioned it a little bit, but I really want to know, what did you think about particularly the original songs? I want to know what you thought about them, because I love them.
Loved it all. Like, I was listening to them and it was almost like I had to listen extra hard, because some of them were so good that I was like, oh no, they must just be... copy, they're
just
doing
a real
cover
song.
Must just be a real song that they're pretending is their own sort of thing. It's like, oh no, this is actually original. So, and it had like a funny, like sort of amateur but sophisticated at the same time, like early Arctic Monkeys almost sort of thing, like where it's like, oh yeah, they're just sort of finding their feet, and some of the lyrics, you know, they're a bit cheesy but then also a little bit weird as well, so it kind of feels like something different.
Something I noticed this time, because I'd probably only seen this once or twice before, did you notice every time he sees something, so obviously there's a big thing in it that he really looks up to his brother and his brother loves music and quite often they'll be watching Top of the Pops and his brother will be explaining, sometimes quite pretentiously, but that's sort of how he is as a character, what is so good about like Duran Duran's Rio or whatever. Did you notice every time he does that, the next song they play seems to be really heavily influenced by whatever he's seen on telly?
Yeah, you can definitely hear it as well.
So I think it's when they see Rio, after they see Rio, there's suddenly a really recognizable guitar riff. So obviously Rio's got that brum in the background, hasn't it? And then they do Up, which is that is also got like a little, I can't really, you know, I can't do it, but you know, there's like a guitar, a really recognizable guitar strum in the background as he's singing. I was like, I thought that was really clever. That idea of you're not ripping the songs off, but you are showing them being directly influenced by songs. Because when they do a Cure one, he's watching The Cure, isn't it? Is it In Between Days? They listen to In Between Days, and the next song. So the next song they do, it's like it sounds so much like it, but it's still good. You're not just going, well, this is just a rip off. It's just like so well balanced in that sense, isn't it?
The Riddle of the Model.
That's it. That's one of the ones that's like, I don't know. I think is that like Adam and the Ants or something? Or might be the Rio one, because obviously it's like, it's about like, oh, the woman's called Rio and I can see her and she's amazing. And that's like, oh, the River of the Model, I can see her and she's amazing sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so, They were really likable, I think, the songs. Really likable, and sort of some of them were quite earwormy as well. Yeah. Like, especially that
I've got some of them on my
one.
Spotify.
Have you? Yeah.
So I've got... So my... Well, to ask you this then, what's your favourite song?
So I think it's the one... I can't remember what it's called, but I think it's the one... It might be the last one that they play, but with a music video, is they're at the senior prom, and then his brother comes in, and he's a bit like James Dean. Like,
is it where, so everything's the 50s?
Yeah, that yeah. one. I so think
that's
it's that
that's
one.
My favorite. It's called "Drive It Like You Stole It."
Yeah.
And it's just and that would work as a pop song.
Yeah, and I think a huge factor for me as well, and because I try to sort of detach myself, it's like, well, what is the better piece of music? But what is the better video sort of thing? But I love that music video and I love the whole thing around that. And then the brother comes in and it's a bit, he is being like James Dean.
Yeah, it's like meant to be one of those where it's like a West Side Story knife fight where it's sort of abstract and it's quite like, and then he takes the knife and slaps it out of his hand, but it's like a dance.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. That's my favorite. But I also love Up, which is the one he does early on in the film and stuff like that. But no, I really like the music. I mean, that Drive It Like You Stole It, I think, would work as a song in its own right. But one of the things I like about it is, back to your thing, because one of the reasons I picked it is you love music videos.
I do.
And it starts with the music videos are shit.
Mm-hmm.
And did you notice as it goes along, the music videos become better and better to the point where the last one is like a music video, but it's not them acting in a music video. It's a fantasy.
Yeah.
So it's like, it becomes more. So one of my things I'll say about this, the first time I watched it, and this sort of comes into my dislikes, but it's fine because it sort of all mixes in together, which is I watched it. And I remember saying the music was great. Really loved them, but the ending was shit. Right.
My parents watched it as well and went,
really liked it. The music was good, but the ending was shit. Right. Okay. And that's one of the things I've seen. And then I watched it again and I was like, I've changed my mind.
Oh.
It's a fantasy.
Yeah.
So it gets weirder and weirder and weirder to the point where he's fantasizing that his parents are there and happy and his brother's there and happy and it's all in the 50s and they're drinking punch. Because that's also the bit where they're like, have you seen Back to the Future?
Yeah.
And it's obviously, that's the end of Back to the Future as well, isn't it? And I was like, at the end, I was like, maybe it's not them going to England. So it's like, I remember thinking that feels a bit rushed and it's just like, and then they go to England, it's fine. And then I read, and the director, John Carney, who I really like John Carney's work. He's done a few other films that are really, really good. Which I'll come back to if you want me to name them. But he said the ending sort of like, make your own mind up.
Okay.
Like,
right,
do they get there or have they even gone?
I totally get that because it felt a bit.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Like, a bit too convenient, almost. Like, so they go to his brother and say, like, we want to go to England. You know, they want to go to London. She wants to be a model. He wants to get his band off the ground. And his brother immediately is like, yes, this is a great idea. I'll drive you to the harbour. You know, in my mind, obviously the realist in me is like, this is so fucking dangerous. What the hell are you playing
at? The boat as well, you're like, that's not getting across the Irish Sea.
That's not getting you there. Neither of you are dressed for this sort of voyage.
You're going to freeze to death.
And I'm like, and it's like, oh God, how is this going to go? What on earth is going to happen? Is it going to end before we actually see? But then they sort of bump into the ferry to England then are able to just sort of follow the ferry. And you know what? I did think, oh, well, that's a bit sort of cheery, happy ending for some of the vibes that were coming through in the film, which were quite dark and a little bit desperate sort of thing. So that is really interesting.
Yeah,
that is what he said. Yeah, I totally get that. But the thing I loved about the sort of music video being a fantasy sort of thing is that storytelling wise, it's the only way to sort of give the film an excuse or give the characters an excuse to play out the music video of their dreams sort of thing. Because it's like, well, you're not going to be able to film this. We haven't got, you know, you haven't got the budget. You haven't got professional cameras and all this, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, oh no, but if we make it a fantasy, now it can be whatever they want it to be. And it can be whatever Connor wants it to be. And I love that. And it's almost like you love that the characters get the opportunity to sort of act it all out,
dance,
even though it is just
routine.
A fantasy. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
Yeah. So Drive It Like You Stole It's your favorite one then.
I think so. I think definitely. Yeah. I've definitely made
so that's
a case
one of the
for
ones
it.
That's on my Spotify playlist. It'll always stay on that. I'm just like, this is a great song. So actually, it's funny. There's a musical now.
What?
So
Sing Street, the musical?
Sing Street, yeah. So it was due to open and COVID happened, but I believe now it's opened. I don't know if it's, I don't know where it is, but there is a musical and you can go and see it. And I'm not a big musicals guy like paying to go and see it, but I would definitely think I'd check that out because I wonder, because I also really like the song that they play as they leave, which is Adam Levine singing.
I thought it was.
Yeah,
I
so Adam Levine sings a song called Go Now, and it's written with John Carney and I think it's called Glenn Hansgard. So the guy who wrote all the music for this is the guitarist from The Commitments.
Wow.
The ginger guy. Wow. So John Carney's a director, he's an Irish director, and he made a film about 20 years ago now called Once, which is about an Irish and a Polish, I think she's Polish, busker in Dublin. And you'd really like it. It's really good. And it's similar to this, except it's all acoustic music.
Mm.
And all the music is woven into the story. So it's them performing live and stuff. It's really, again, I've got a couple of songs from that on my playlist and stuff. That's really, really good. A lot more low budget and sort of like down to earth. A lot more acoustic stuff like that. But that's really, really good. Then they've continued to work together. So they made this. They also made a film, which I can't remember if it was before or after this, called Begin Again with Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo, where she plays a singer. That's really, really good. But Adam Levine is in that as a character. It's the only time I've seen him act in two things. And one, he didn't really do anything in. But in that, he's actually okay. Sort of works okay in it as a... Well, I suppose he plays himself in Pop Star, but I won't count that. But
I got it all and I want more.
So humble. He's so humble.
So expensive. But, sorry, you've got me going there.
But yeah, so Adam Levine is in Begin Again. I can't remember if it's before or after this. But yeah, so they've worked together a few times, John Carney and Glenn Hansgard and Adam Levine. But that song's really, really good. And I remember, again, I read John Carney sort of said he wanted a song for the end that wasn't by the band.
Yeah, and it was so weird because it started and I instantly was like, is this Maroon 5? I was like, well, no, it can't be because all the non-diegetic like soundtrack and music has been from bands in the 80s. This film is set in 1985 sort of thing. So I was like, oh no, it can't be. So that's very interesting and I'm so pleased you told me. And I'm so pleased that I've got such a good ear that I knew it was him. I knew it. So we'll move on now then to talking about anything that we didn't like about the film or perhaps anything that we would change. So go on, Josh. What do you got for me?
Oh, this is really difficult, this. This is almost more difficult than Batman Begins. So I've changed my mind on the ending.
Yeah.
So we'll leave that there. I did used to not like the ending. And I actually wrote the ending when I was doing my notes before I'd even watched it. As I was prepping it, I wrote, I don't really like the ending. I think it's a bit random. I think it's a bit rushed. But I've sort of changed my mind on that. And I like to think of it as more of a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I noticed was if they're so skint that Connor can't have black shoes, how does he keep showing up with new stuff? He keeps showing up with like new hats and coats and costumes. But again, maybe it plays into that fantasy stuff. So other than that, I don't really know. There's the odd bit where it looks like it's going to go into troubling territory and then it just doesn't. They make a joke out of it. I suppose you could argue that Ruffina could have been given more to do.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I actually think I think Lizzie Boynton really smashes it in this. I think she's really, really good. She's definitely one of the emotional hearts of the film in the way that her a fella treats her and stuff like that. So, no, the only thing I did notice, beside the ending, which I've changed my mind on, was that Connor just keeps showing up with stuff, and I'm like, where's he got that from?
Yeah, but equally, it
could be that he's just nicking it, or it does sort of hint that his dad's artistic, because he says something about not getting a commission. Mm-hmm. So maybe his dad's got loads of stuff. I don't know. But anyway, that is it. That's it from me. Have you got stuff? I'd be interested to know.
Not really. It's real. No? The only thing maybe is that for what it is, maybe a little bit long.
Right.
Like
okay.
Just it's 1 hour. It was 1 hour 45, I believe.
Something like that. Yeah.
And it's some elements of it are a little bit repetitive.
Yeah.
Like with the, you know, obviously with their practicing and then, oh, here's a new song and, oh, we practice again and then here's a new song sort of thing. But, like, it was still enjoyable. Like, I still enjoyed it. I didn't feel bored or anything.
It's not 2.5 hours, is it? Do you know what I mean?
No, gosh, no. But I think maybe you could have shaved off maybe just 10 minutes and it might have packed a bit more of a punch. But that's it. I've got nothing else to bring to the table with this. Like, there's just
nothing.
There's something about it. Like, it's sort of wonderfully simple,
charming
and brilliantly articulate about like certain issues and stuff, but without ramming anything down your throat. It's like the film, it wants it to be about the music and it wants you to think about the music and enjoy the music. But it's still like, oh, but also the teacher's quite abusive and, oh, also the parents are quite shitty and there's the bully character, isn't there? Is it Barry?
Like what happens with him, actually, the fact that they win him over with sort of like, they basically win him over by being like relentlessly optimistic and affectionate to him.
Yeah, exactly, which obviously he's not used to because his dickhead druggy dad is just like abusive to him as well. So it's like, and all that stuff's still going on, but it's never, it's not so prominent that's what the film becomes.
Yeah.
That's what it becomes.
It doesn't
and it's
hit you
still
over the
about
head
the
with
music.
Issues, does it?
Yeah, exactly. But it gets the balance really right, I think. And it just overall, I don't know, it's just something about it, man. It's just dead good, wasn't it? It's just dead good.
Dead good, wasn't it?
Just dead good. We'll move on now then to talking about the critical reception and seeing where we think this falls in terms of underrated or underseen. So I haven't seen the critical reception. I think you don't think it is underrated, do you? No,
I don't think so. No. Okay. I would love to say it was, but you'll see when I do the scores.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think it's underseen, definitely.
Yeah. And I think I would probably agree with you on that. So, I mean, What would I give it?
11 out of 10?
Probably not that high, but just trying to think about how much enjoyment I did get from it. I think this is an 8, definitely.
Yeah.
I think we're going into 8 territory with this. What do I think it got? Based on your reaction just then, probably quite high. And I reckon it probably gets a really high 8. So I'm going to say like an 88% or an 8.8 sort of thing. So go on, hit me with it.
At the time of recording over on IMDb, it gets 7.9 out of 10.
Okay.
So a bit lower than you might have thought. But on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience give it 92%.
Whoa. Okay.
And the critics give it 95%.
Wow.
So that averages out. If you round it up, it averages out to 89% or like 8.9 out of 10.
Close.
But if you round it down, it's 88. So it's 88.6. So you are spot on there. So,
oh, I'm so good.
So yeah, I mean, is it appropriately rated? Should we say appropriately rated or is it even overrated? I think that's all right.
I don't, You know, there are some films where the score that you give it doesn't match the score that it gets, but it doesn't feel
right.
Overrated. Yeah, because it is so good. And I just really like what the film's doing, what the film's saying, like how it presents this world to us and all that sort of thing. So I reckon I don't want to call it overrated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think? Where's your head
I think that's bob on. Yeah. I think it's just a love. I enjoyed it this time even more than the first time I watched it. So yeah, definitely. I think it's appropriately rated. Box office wise though, and this is worse than I thought.
Oh.
It did 13 million worldwide.
Oh yeah.
Most of that must have been in the UK and Ireland. No, I couldn't see.
The other thing I was thinking as well, most of that will be on getting the rights to all them songs.
Most of it will be like phoning The Cure and Duran Duran and be like, can we use your song, please?
Yeah.
I mean, like 30 million worldwide, that's got to be mainly UK and Ireland, must be.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Or certainly Europe.
Hmm.
I mean, for me, that's underseen at the box office. And I think it's underseen generally because I think if more people saw this, this could easily become like a Commitments. You know, like a modern classic where it's like, oh yeah, love the Commitments, or even it reminds me a little bit of Pride. It's almost like Pride makes the Commitments in that sense. So for me, underseen, appropriately rated.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm right there with you.
So next week then, Alice,
mm-hmm.
I believe you have a special little film you want to pick. Well, I believe you have a film you want to pick, but it has a special reason. So that's all I know. So what are we watching next week?
So we're sort of around at the time now where we're approaching or we're near to, or it's just been the kind of 4-year anniversary since we first went into lockdown. And so to sort of mark the occasion, I'm doing something a little bit different now, and you can tell me off next week if you feel like this doesn't fit the format, because it's a little bit different and it may not technically be a film. But
right.
Next week, we're going to watch Inside by Bo Burnham, and it's on Netflix.
Okay. And you think it might not be a film?
It might not be a film, but it might be.
What we're going to watch... Boris's announcement of lockdown and him saying, next slide, please.
Next slide, please.
So it's already better than that. Okay, well, in that case, join us next week where we're going to be talking about, I almost said Boris's announcement of lockdown again. Join us next week. We're going to be talking about Bo Burnham's Inside. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. If you just search for Just Films and That, and you'll find us on Facebook, Twitter/X, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube as well. We're on Patreon, so if you want to support us, then you'll get a little bit of extra content. Episodes a day early and ad-free as well. Click the link in the episode notes and you'll find it. We're also on the television as well, aren't we, Alice?
We are indeed. Every Friday from 6 p.m. you can catch us on the local TV network talking about all our favourite underrated and underseen films. So if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. And I'm also uploading all the videos onto Dailymotion. So if you scoot on over there and type in Just Films and That, you'll be able to see us and exactly what we're up to.
Yes, lots of ways to see us, hear us, get in touch with us, and thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week for Inside by Bo Burnham. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio!
The riddle of the model.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.